We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. It's going to be a little bit of an abbreviated episode today. It's late in the day on Monday. Normally, we try to record it early in the morning or after the games. But I was traveling back from the West Coast. Scott, you were at a bachelor party 2 or 3 weeks ago. At least yours was in the same time zone. When you couple the debauchery of a bachelor party, which had 15 guys, by the way, okay?
It's too many guys. Mine had 25.
Jesus Christ.
Try planning
insane.
That.
Insane.
Yeah.
It's impossible. 25. It's insane. But when it was
good though. It actually worked out nicely.
Okay. Well, when you couple a bachelor party with a west to east travel,
that's a lot.
Makes for a miserable Monday, let me tell you.
At least you had some time to sleep on the plane.
No, I didn't.
No, you can't. There's no way you can sleep on a plane, right?
No. Cannot sleep on a plane.
No way life affords you that luxury.
Caught up on Kenobi.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, you know, I think that this past weekend I missed last week's recording because I was at a conference in Dallas all week. So we've been jet setting. That's what we are. We're jet setters. Trying to make sure that the Yankee games are on the entire. You know, it's funny because I was making it a point each night to find a bar with the Yankees game. Everybody else in Dallas is like, "Who gives a shit?" I was like, "I give a shit. Let's go find the game so we can watch it."
Cowboys training camp is on.
Yeah. I'm like, no. We're going to go watch baseball.
Did you find
a couple times I had to put it on my phone and put it against the napkin holder.
Yeah.
And that was just what's going to happen because I'm a lunatic and I need to see what's happening. And then, you know, renovating my house because we are in the process of selling it all weekend. Got John and Susan. And I've started to listen. This is not just me, you know, going down the road, which I don't make light of or condone. I listened to the TV broadcast.
Oh, you did the responsible thing, and you didn't watch television as you were driving an automobile.
No, right? This is when I'm renovating a bathroom. Listening to the, I would do the opposite. Listening to the video version of it, because at that point, if I don't know what's happening, which it puts me on level footing with the audio, at least I can look over and look and see it.
That's where I am.
Today.
So you match up because the MLB app has this thing where you can match up the video with the radio broadcast.
Yeah. No, I didn't do that.
You could do that. So it's like if you're, you know, you can turn over and glance at it every now and again, but you mostly want the audio for the description. You could do that, which I've done before. I like it. Sometimes it gets out of sync, especially out of commercials, which I hate.
Yes.
And it's like the it'll just be the blank screen and then Sterling's talking about the third pitch of the inning. And I'm like, well, where the frick is this thing? But whatever.
I'm going to be very honest. The other reason why I did this while tiling in my bathroom is because I had it on a speaker as well. And the radio broadcast from the app is egregious with the commercials, the volume. The volume like blares as soon as the commercials go. And I couldn't handle it anymore. It was so loud, echoing in a bathroom, that I couldn't handle it anymore. So I put on the TV broadcast so that it was at least, you know, the same volume throughout. Because it made for a terrible experience.
Still advertising?
It's always been like that.
Are they still advertising that new MLB.com Red Sox podcast on the Yankees broadcast? Guys, how about some targeted ads here, please?
What are we doing? Yeah, that was awful.
I'm listening to WFA. I'm listening to the fan audio, and you're telling me to go listen to a new freaking Red Sox podcast. Idiots. Anyway, yeah. What do you think of this baseball team right now?
Good money spent. You know, pitching's good. Aroldis Chapman is the new Carl Pavano. When I saw that headline, I was like, of course, that's exactly what happened. Of course, he's on the IL with a freaking tattoo that got infected. That's
one of the all-time silly injuries. Like you've got, I remember Ugi Urbina. Didn't he get Guitar Hero or something? Or like, did he injure himself playing Guitar Hero?
I don't know. But don't you get like an antibiotic just because? I don't have any tattoos, so I don't know this, but isn't that like a precautionary measure? I would think if you're a professional athlete, you could get some quick hookups.
Logan looks like he's got a full sleeve tattoo. Maybe he can tell us.
back to a very inconsistent offense. That's the outburst and then the Judge home run. But really the offense was pretty much non-existent once again. So here I am again, going back to the good side. The Yankees, I think, showed some very good things last week in what we wanted to see. We needed them to rebound. They did. A split in Oakland is not the worst thing in the world when you're going to the West Coast. It's not a good team. It's a bad team.
Yeah, but like, look at how you lost those games. Like
that's the problem. The problem is you don't get hits.
Right. You had positive things coming out of the homestand. They won the last game. Then they swept the mini Mets series, and like there were some positive vibes going out west. And the first game, you put up 13. What was it? It was 13 runs and 20 hits in the first game.
Off Caprillion too, yeah.
Yeah, and then you score 6 total runs over the next 29 innings. Like, yeah, you're right. They split it, but that's a pretty bad way to split a series.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I reminisced a little bit. He had 86 pitches. And he didn't even finish the third. I mean, that's the way that they used to really do things. They would grind those pitches down and they would be like, damn, this guy's at 100 pitches. They're in the fourth inning. And now it's like, I mean, they did it in the last two games terribly, not to jump ahead. Like they were swinging at the first pitch like crazy. And like they got frustrated and they were like just trying to make something happen instantly. And it was like, this is not your approach. It doesn't work.
Yeah. No, it hasn't. It hasn't worked. The Yankees are very known, at least they should be known, and they have been in the past, for grinding those at-bats, working it, and getting good information. That's what's so important about having the top of your lineup, being able to work and having a good leadoff guy who can grind and actually give you some good information. And if you're not getting that, and if you're going too early and trying to make things happen, they're pressing. They press. They start pressing in those long stretches where they don't have a hit. And this team is not good when they're pressing. If they're not playing their game in their approach, that's when you start seeing the holes being exposed, and that's a problem. It was good to see Stanton back. You know, immediately he was contributing, but you know they got to get back into that groove, and yeah, they can't have everybody be slumping at one time. That the lineup is not built that way. It should not be happening.
Well, it wasn't happening in the first half of the season. That even if you had guys slumping, there were other guys to pick it up on a nightly basis. And now it seems like the offense is very contagious, both good and bad. they get 20 hits and 13 runs in one game because everyone's feeding off of one another. And then the next few games, they're only scoring runs on the Judge home run, the Higgy solo shot. And then that 11 inning game was extra painful. You don't even score a run on a hit. You get gifted 2 runs, and that's the only way you score runs, is on the wild pitch.
Yeah, the fact that you're and even on that game, the only hit, sixth inning rookie kid is just like coming in there being the guy that's actually showing up. He's been freaking good, by the way. I know that Marwin Gonzalez just got put on paternity leave, but his role on this team moving forward, with if Cabrera is here, I don't see it. He can do everything that Marwin Gonzalez can do, but better. And
yeah, but
with
like
more enthusiasm and more fun.
Yeah. They need healthy bodies back, so they don't need to have Marwin Gonzalez on the roster at this point.
And that's the thing. You know, getting more pitching. Chase Clay Holmes today, finally getting back, and they need him very badly with Chapman's quote injury, or the infection happening on his tattoo. What is the tattoo? Do we know what the tattoo is? Did we find out what the tattoo was? I feel like that's an important piece of information.
Why? Because if it was like his mother's name or something, or like one of his child's names.
I need to know. Yeah.
That if it was just like barbed wire.
If it's barbed wire across his arm and that was what got infected, I got an even bigger problem with it. If it's like a child's name that he had just been putting off and couldn't get an appointment until much later in the season, maybe I'll look at it a little differently.
You think
but
this is the
someone slipped most... a dirty needle to that guy.
You think this is you think it was foul play?
Possibly. It's possibly foul play. This is why we need more information about the tattoo. You need more context so that I can make a better judgment.
You don't see. I feel like Chapman should be at a level where he's got a really good tattoo artist and he doesn't have to worry about infections. But this,
you would think.
Maybe this is like a drunken, grimy tattoo parlor type of deal.
He said some way that it was a leg tattoo. And he said specifically that he's gotten tattoos during the season before and this has never happened, and that it's very scary.
Very scary. It's very an scary ass tattoo, which is close to the leg. And
upper leg.
His normal guy didn't do it because he couldn't wait till the next homestand, or just decided on a whim, I'm going to get it after they left the homestand. Yeah. I don't know, man. I feel like you could avoid that situation pretty easily. And with the Yankees struggling in their bullpen and him specifically, you'd think that maybe you'd want to wait a couple months to get that one, huh?
Well,
just wait.
Sure. Do you think, Logan said earlier, this might be the last time we ever see Chapman pitch in a Yankees uniform? Like, if this is a severe infection, he's not really able to come back. Like, is this how the Aroldis Chapman Yankees era ends?
How does that happen? How do you get a severe infection? No. I don't quite understand this. We are not in a third world country. This is a man that has a lot of resources and a lot of just money and connections to the right people without dirty needles, and also the right people you'd think be able to get in front of an infection, so that it's not, we're not getting like a influenza on the Oregon Trail. Like, this is something that he should be able to come back for. Throw some amoxicillin in your body, get it to a good place. And maybe I'm speaking completely ignorant about this, but I don't know how this is something that lingers on as long as it. The problem is that he's gonna have to redo again. If he can't throw, if he can't work on his mechanics while this is happening, to me, that's the biggest thing. I'm just going to assume that the infection's under control at this point. If it's not, then poo on me. I'm an idiot. But if it is, he still can't be, getting the same work in, and that's going to affect him in a very negative way on the field. We know what happens when Aroldis Chapman is out of sync. It ain't good. It ain't good. And it takes him a long time to get back into the good positioning for him to succeed on this team. So I don't know.
So
I don't know if it's the last time we see him, but maybe it's we've definitely seen the last time he's ever succeeded as a Yankee.
I Googled leg tattoo infection, and of course the Aroldis Chapman news comes up. But according to Google, how do I know if my leg tattoo is infected? It's got a few things here. Fever, waves of heat and cold, abnormal shivering, swelling of the tattooed area, pus coming out of the area. That seems like potentially the worst.
Pretty clear sign, I'd say.
Red lesions around the area. Red streaking from the area, areas of hard raised tissue.
Not good.
Yeah, some bad ones on here. Maybe, I mean, Maybe he just had abnormal shivering and a little bit of a fever, or maybe he had pus coming out of his leg.
Well, at least if there's pus coming out of your leg, like it's exiting your body. So, you know, that's the body trying to clean something itself and trying to you know, normalize. But none of that sounds good. Just wait a little bit to get a tattoo. How about that? In a more controlled, understood environment when you can chill and stay on the couch and just lay down and not do much.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Like you said, they are getting Clay Holmes back, which is potentially huge, obviously. And the bullpen, though, it's just been taxed. It's lacking bodies. And it was evident when they sent Marinaccio back out to close out the game on Saturday, even though he had already pitched the previous inning. They had Trevino warmed up and available, and he gave up the home run to Vogt. But the pitching overall was still really good. So I still point back to the offense and the lack of offense and the stretches of ineptitude from the offense as the reason why this team is going through so many struggles and has been so inconsistent. It's not the pitching. It has been the stretches of 2 to 2.5 games of just no offense.
The pitching's actually gone through like normal ups and downs, I feel like. They've hit the normal, you know, positions within a season that you start to get tired or you start to lose your timing, whatever that is. But you're absolutely right. The offense has gone on to way too many sustained slumps as a team. And when you start failing again with runners in scoring position, as they did, I think, Friday they went 1-for-8. JP Sears comes in, 8 hits. I'm looking at Logan's notes, 8 hits. But he's a guy that you should be going out there and doing well against. When you can't hit with runners in scoring position, it's just going to add to the inconsistencies. It's a problem. No Ohtani this week coming up. That's something on the pitcher side.
So you think that's like, oh, that now not going to get gifted a start because he can't pitch against the Yankees? He's not going to walk 4 guys in an inning to start the game?
Oh, because that, yeah, I don't know. Does that translate into in Anaheim, though?
I mean, those Anaheim games, when the Yankees are there, they're like 75% Yankees fans.
I know, but his big struggles have come at Yankee Stadium. I'm saying they're dodging hopefully a good pitcher in Ohtani, not having to go against him. Logan,
I think offhand, I don't think he's ever pitched against the Yankees in Anaheim. But also, I want to know what you guys have to think about this. It feels like this in the past as well, not just this season, that they get up for the good pitching. When it's a bad pitcher that they've never seen before, they have nothing. But then, Manoah is a good pitcher, and they couldn't touch him when he was a rookie. And now, as it's gone on, it's like, all right, well, they've gotten a little bit better. I mean, they got up for Scherzer. You know, even the first time they faced Scherzer, they had, decent at-bats. Even Verlander, they had some hits off of, I feel like they get up for the good pitching, and the young pitchers they never see, they have, no game plan. They're just going up there swinging.
It's the amount of quit that you see in the at-bats when things are going wrong that's, most concerning to me. It's like these innings go by in the blink of an eye, 1, 2, 3, and it's just non-competitive at-bats, first pitch flyouts or three-pitch strikeouts. And that's the most frustrating aspect of it. It's like you get shut down by, obviously, a good pitcher, but any pitcher. If it's just on any given night a pitcher is shoving, pretty much any pitcher can shut down an offense on a given night. But when it happens so consistently with this team and you see just quitting in them, that's what gets to me. That's what I look at it, and I'm like, I don't see how this team is just magically going to snap their fingers and we're going to start to... Where is that team in the first half? Where is the May and June Yankees? Unrecognizable right now.
Who's the first person you think of when you said three-pitch flyout?
I
immediately go to one person.
I said three-pitch strikeout, but...
Logan, who do you think of three-pitch flyout?
The man who shall not be named?
Oh, no. I think of Aaron Hicks.
Oh, I think of
Aaron Hicks.
Pop out to third base.
Infield pop out. It feels like that's every single at bat.
Yeah, infield pop out or double play with the bases loaded. That's the Aaron Hicks special. Okay, so too many Aaron Hickses in the lineup. But, it's not Aaron Hicks that's causing the Yankees to score 6 runs over 29 innings.
No, it's not, but the fact that they are not hitting, they're all hitting like Aaron Hicks. Maybe he's a problem. Maybe they need to get him out of the locker room. His lack of hitting is contagious.
So it was actually Aaron Hicks, not Joey Gallo, that was the problem for the locker
room. That's a good conspiracy theory, because Gallo's OPS is in a very different place right now in LA.
I'm sick of seeing those comparisons because he was never going to do it with the Yankees, and I've moved past that. But I look at what the Yankees still have in the lineup, and they should be good enough to score more runs than they are.
They'll see it. They'll be good. I'm again still confident in this team and this offense, because I know for a fact that this offense is not as bad as we have seen in this last month. They're just not. They're not as bad. And if it's the pressure of a team getting closer in the standings and or going up against a good pitcher, or they have to feel that heat towards the end of the season, then so be it. If they can perform in those moments, then I guess we'll find out the hard way. The only way that you can is if they show up. But they have everything. I'm so sick of saying this. They have the talent to do it. It's just a matter of them actually doing it.
And the pitching, even though Nestor Cortes is on the IL, do you think that is a little bit of an innings management thing, or are you a bit more concerned? I mean, they are calling it a grade 2 groin strain.
Yeah, I think anytime you have a problem with the lower half of a pitcher, it's a problem, because then they can't get the reps. Same thing with Chapman here. You got to build back up again. And that's where, I think a lot of variation and bad things could potentially happen, especially with a guy who's got starting pitcher longevity. So it'll be interesting to see how long he's out. Hopefully it's the minimum, but it's definitely something for us to watch, because right now they're thin. And, Herman pitched well. Herman's pitching well.
Stepped
in this spot.
Up his last couple starts. I mean,
yeah, he's doing the job. He's doing the job people thought he would do, but it makes this Jordan Montgomery thing look even more crazy, because we knew this. We knew that they needed depth towards the end of the season. This has been a storyline all year. What's going to happen at the end of the year? How are they going to manage some of these innings? Because it was inevitable to happen. So if we're looking at a few of these phantom IL situations, potentially just to get some innings relief, then it could have been avoided.
Well, that I mean, we knew that Nestor Cortes was potentially going to have his innings managed, but I still look at it. And Tyone Cole and Herman pitched 21 innings and only allowed 2 runs combined over the first three starts of this series. That should be good enough to win those first three games of this
series.
Oh,
I'm not even talking about to win the games. They for sure should have won the games.
But so the starting rotation is still pitching well enough. Yeah, Clark Schmidt didn't pitch well, but okay, you shouldn't even be in a position where you have to win that game to win the series at that point, because you have had plenty of pitching up until that point to have won 3 out of 4. And then it's like gravy on the last day. You gotta fill in starter going. But because the offense was so putrid, that's not what happened. So it makes it seem a lot worse than and a lot more like gloom and doom with the fact that, okay, Nestor Cortes is going on the IL. He's been the most consistent starting pitcher in the rotation. And now he's out for maybe it's just a couple weeks and it's just innings management. He comes back and doesn't miss a beat. Maybe it's worse than that. And what if it's worse than that? Then you start to go, then your mind starts to go and point to that Jordan Montgomery thing.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, because it could be worse than that. And with him being, you know, not down, and it's a lower body injury, which means you can't get your normal rep in. If you're a lower body injury, like that, it's hard to say that that's a phantom thing, because they have to be treating it like a lower half injury. You can't do a ton with it. The other thing, what it does is when you see the offense struggling like this, it just puts added pressure on the bullpen, even though the starting pitching is going well, because now you still have late and close games because the offense can't do a damn thing because the pitching staff in the rotation has done well and done their job. And now you're forced to go into the bullpen and use your high leverage guys because you can't score any damn runs. That is also a massive impact when you, especially going on the West Coast, you have a 4-game set like this. It can't be undervalued when you're not scoring runs. Now you have to lean on more guys, which puts the bullpen in a much more taxed situation. And that's exactly what we're looking at. You sprinkle in an injury like Chapman, and now you're in a much more difficult position. And you have to make, you know, decisions that you probably wouldn't have if people were healthy.
When the offense is this bad, any little thing that goes wrong, even if it's uncharacteristic, like the DJ LeMahieu error, that lost them the game on Saturday, that just seems so much more glaring than where if the offense is doing its job, you can withstand an error. You can withstand someone going down for 15 days or 20 days. But you can't. You cannot win games with the offense this bad. It's been this way for a month and a half. Like, we can dissect everything else about this team. I'm sorry. When the offense is so bad, scoring for a while in August prior to the last few week, they were averaging under 2 runs a game. What are you going to do with under 2 runs a game?
It's not sustainable for success. It's just not. Thank God your pitching staff is doing well and you're maintaining a semblance of a decent record and staying in front of the AL East. That's the other thing, is that they're staying in front of the AL East, and that's a good thing, but it has nothing to do with their offense.
Yeah, and they're in Anaheim to finish the West Coast portion of the road trip, but the road trip doesn't get easier. Anaheim just swept the Blue Jays, and the Yankees have Tampa. Let's take a look at tonight's over-under. We're going to do it using WinBet, which is live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. They bring the excitement of the Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WinBet has what you need to win. Sign up today using our code XBlueWire and you get a special offer. You can bet $50 and win $200. Tonight's over-under is 8 runs. Yankees are favored by 1.5. And their over-under for run scored is 4.5. What are you flipping the coin on right now?
I'm going over. Okay. I'm hitting the over.
Drinking some hopium? You shooting up some hopium?
Yeah, no, I think the 75% Yankee fans out there is going to lift some spirits. Now, I don't know. It's a matter of like playing the numbers. You haven't played, you know, this is where I bet on due. When you struggle as mightily as they had over the last 2 games with runners in scoring position and actually putting runs across the board and getting hits, something's got to give. So a lot of West Coast guys going LA, taking the over.
I mean, you got it. They've got to hit this guy, Jose Suarez, right? Like, he's averaging over 3 walks per 9 innings. Come on. Come on. You cannot get shut down by this guy.
No, they did not have a very good success over the kid in Oakland had, I think, a 6 ERA, was shutting them down. They had like spot starters coming in and shutting them down. So I'm not really looking at their stats. They just need to go out there and hit the damn ball.
There's also going to be a lot of talk this week of Ohtani or Judge for MVP. Like, there's still a lot of articles being written about it. I mean, obviously we're biased. We think it should be Judge all the way, but what do you think? Do you think that it's just Ohtani because he's good on both sides, is just undeniable, and there's pretty much nothing a single offensive player can do to best it?
They need to clearly identify what the MVP award is, finally, especially, and maybe that will come to light with a guy like him, because in theory, yes, you could look at Ohtani and vote for him every single year, no matter what happens. If he hasn't put together a decent year, and he's put together good numbers on both sides, so it's hard to argue that he's not the most valuable player to a team. Judge is putting up the most valuable season to a team and the most valuable statistics to a team. But is that what the award is? Because that's not what it's been given to in the past. It's a problem that they have so much gray area in here. A pitcher can win the MVP. Maybe that shouldn't be the case. But you're just looking at his offensive numbers. That would make things a lot more clear in that case. Judge is the MVP of the season. There's no doubt in my mind he is the MVP. But I understand why it's such a problem with Ohtani, because he's doing something that we just have never seen before in any of our lifetimes. And the guy is a unicorn. So I understand why it's a problem.
I think this is a pretty easy fix. You have the Cy Young. Maybe you then create the Babe Ruth Award for the offensive version of Cy Young. And then you have the MVP Award, which is clearly defined as most valuable to that individual team's success that season. And then the writers can obviously have some interpretation on that and still vote for Ohtani if they choose. But if you define it that way, I find it hard to believe that you would vote for Ohtani over Judge if it's clearly defined that way. And then maybe Ohtani doesn't win any awards because, like, well, he's not been the best offensive player. He's not been the best pitcher, right? So maybe he doesn't win any awards. And that's okay.
You can also look at his team. Okay, you're a valuable team. You're a valuable piece on a team that doesn't make the playoffs. How valuable actually are you at that point? You know, that's where you go back to, like, A-Rod's championships.
Depends on the year.
MVPs with Texas. It's about stats, all about stats. But now they have to clearly define those.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, the only thing, like, obviously, I think Judge is the MVP. I mean, his WAR is better than Ohtani's, which is the only stat that you can really use to compare them one-to-one, because it's the only thing that encompasses everything. But you could make the case, I'm looking at Ohtani's numbers now, that he is having a better season this year than he did last. I mean, he's a much better pitcher. He's cut his ERA by a half a run. He's basically made 22 starts so far this year. He only made 23 last year. I mean, he had a better offensive season last year, 965 OPS, which is insane, but he has an 874 this year. I mean, it is unbelievable.
Is that almost on par? Cause relative to the league, cause the offensive OPS is down this year.
So last year was a 157 OPS plus, this year it's a 145.
Okay. So still,
but he's a much better pitcher.
Still roughly 50% better than the league. Offensively.
Yeah, exactly. It's sick. I mean,
there's a pretty clear case to be made for him. There's no doubt. And it's unfortunate that this is going to be a potential problem. And I hope it doesn't end up being a potential problem for Judge, because
I mean, what are we talking problem? Like, of course he wants
for the voting, for the voting. He's already been,
if he comes in second, does he become cheaper?
Yeah.
Cause then maybe I'll refer him to become second.
Well, you know, who's going to be lobbying the writers to vote for Ohtani?
Andy Levine.
Levine's getting his dirty paws in there. This is bring down the value. You got J-Rod signing half a billion dollar contract, so it does. I think Judge is going to be okay in the free agency when he hits free agency. But we do have to wrap it up. It's been a chaotic Monday, so we appreciate you guys bearing with us. Scott and I will be back again later this week after the Anaheim series, and then of course we'll be talking about the weekend games coming up against Tampa. So stay tuned for that. Please submit your mailbag questions in the voicemail line and all that good stuff. Follow us on Twitter, and we'll talk to you guys.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.